I want to talk to you this morning. I based the message on a line from an old gospel song by Mahalia Jackson. Lord, don't move my mountain, but give me the strength to climb it. And there's a verse in that that goes something like this. The way may not be easy, but you never said that it would be. Because when our way gets a little too easy, Lord, we tend to stray from Thee. Lord, don't move my mountain. Give me the strength to climb it. And you know, brothers and sisters, today we're going up on the mountain with the Lord, but we got to get there first. I want to first of all talk to you today about the purpose of trials in our life. And then I want to talk to you a little bit about the productiveness of trials. And then I want to talk about the pattern of trials. And why do I use this word trials? You know, we're in the middle of Lent and the cross is before us. And I just want to say to you, brothers and sisters, that they have this wonderful experience on the mountaintop, but before they got to that mountaintop, they had to climb a mighty tall mountain. Amen? They had to climb to get up there. They had to climb. And we often overlook that fact. Listen to the way the text begins. Jesus took Peter, James, and John and led them up a high mountain apart by themselves. Anyone ever been to the Holy Land? I was privileged in 1994 to go there and I saw the Mount of the Transfiguration. It's a mighty tall mountain, church. It's way up there. In fact, in order to get up there, see, today we make everything so easy. But you got to get in these special cars that are designed with special transmissions. And they put you in all these different cars and they bring you up to the top of the mountain. It's a mighty long drive, back and forth, up the side of that mountain, with cars that require special transmissions because the mountain is so steep and so high. And when you get up there, it's like looking out from an airplane window. You see the whole Jezreel Valley stretched out before you. But you're way up there. Now, church, I got news for you. Peter, James, and John and Jesus didn't have a Mercedes-Benz car with a special transmission to get them up that mountain. Church, they had to climb that mountain. And at the top of that mountain, there's something wonderful waiting for them up there. But first, I said first, they have to climb. You know, the Lord's got some wonderful things for all of us. But in order to get there, sometimes we've got to do some climbing. Some climbing. And when we think about the crosses in our life, let me ask you this question. Where would you be without the crosses in your life? Now, when you think about crosses, don't just think about suddenly losing a job or getting cancer. Those are big crosses. But church, come on, there's lots of daily crosses. Amen. The alarm rang this morning at 6 a.m. It's a cross to get up. Amen? Now the Lord has some wonderful things. I'm glad to see the church looking a little full today, more full than it's been. And I thank God. And God has some gifts for me. But Charles Pope, in order to get to the blessing, first you got to climb out of bed. Amen? And God's got some blessings for all of us here today. But how many of you had to climb? I said, climb out of bed. It wasn't easy, amen? If you are a morning person, God bless you. I am not. Some people get up in the morning and they say, good morning, God. Other people get up in the morning and they say, good God, morning. We had to climb to get here today, amen? Some of us, anyway. But where would you and I be without the crosses in our life? How many things would we not have today if the Lord had not led us to take up some crosses in our life? All kinds of different crosses. Crosses, for example, that crosses that just getting up and going to school and learning and passing tests and making lots of papers and all the things we had to do just to get our career so that we could get off with that. Amen? And we could begin to get on with our career. All the years of preparation and struggle and trial. Choir, where would you be if it wasn't for the cross of coming on Tuesday nights? Would you have some of the glorious moments that you've had just praising God? You've got to get here on Tuesday night. Mr. Lewis says amen. Hours of hard work, difficulty. But church, aren't we blessed that they take up their cross? Are you praying with me? Praise God. Where would you be? Last night, I just got an itch to play the organ. Beautiful organ we have here. I came over last night, and I hope you don't mind, Mr. Lewis, but I pulled all the stops. I made the building shake as I played. And I had such a wonderful time just playing the organ last night, taking some of the old hymns that I grew up with and just playing them. And, oh, praise God. But church, I couldn't have done that if it hadn't been for years. I said years of hard work called practice. Practice, practice. And I wish I could play better than I do. Maybe that's because I didn't practice enough. But without the cross, there would have been no crown. Without the cross, there would have been no glory, no joy, no excitement. I couldn't have gotten to the mountaintop that I had last night just praising God by playing the organ in the church. I couldn't have done that if I hadn't climbed a mighty long way. Because music doesn't come naturally to me. So church, notice the climb. There's a beautiful wisdom in that old song, isn't there? Lord, don't move my mountain. Because you've got blessings for me up there. Don't move my mountain. I'm not asking you to take away the crosses that I need to take up. It takes courage, amen, to say that. Lord, I know you've got crosses for me. I'm not asking you to take them away because I know that from the crosses in my life and from the climbs I've got to make, you've got some powerful blessings on the other side. So Lord, don't move my mountain. But just give me the strength to climb it because I want to get up there and I want to see the blessings. Praise you, Lord. I thank you. And you know, all the problems and the difficulties in our life, even the most painful crosses, bring an awful lot of blessings to us. Church, let me suggest to you five purposes of problems and crosses in our life. First of all, God uses the crosses of our life to direct us. To direct us. You know, sometimes God just has to light a fire under me to get me moving. Hello? Or is it just me? And problems can point us in new directions and motivate us to change. Back in 1995, I had a nervous breakdown. Some of you were here with me at that time, and you helped me through it. And God helped me through that painful period of my life to make some important changes that are blessing me today. I don't want to have another nervous breakdown. Someone say amen. But you know what? I can look back on that time and say, I'm glad that God worked that time out for me. Because awful lot of blessings have come from it. I'm a more broken, humble man. I trust God so much more today. And I reach out to others for help more instinctively. God gave me some powerful blessings through a painful period. And so you see, problems, God sometimes uses problems to direct us. If you will, to redirect us. You know, there's just something about the cross that calls us home. Anyone ever been away from God? You were cruising high and just doing great. All of a sudden, something happened. You say, you fell on that. It's finally you fell back on your knees and said, I got to get back with God. Amen? So sometimes God uses problems to direct us. Not only does God use problems to direct us, but He uses problems to inspect us. To inspect us. Listen to what the Scripture says. From 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 6. In this you should greatly rejoice, that now for a little while you may have to suffer grief of all kinds and trials. But these trials are only to test your faith and to see whether or not it is strong and pure. Sometimes it's easy to believe when things are going great. Oh yeah, God. But when the trials come, that's when our faith is real or not. Amen? So not only does God use problems to direct us and to inspect us, but God also uses problems to correct us. To correct us. Listen to what the Bible says in Psalm 119. Before I was afflicted, I strayed. But now I keep your word. Hello? Anyone ever been scared straight? You know, I had an experience when I was a young child. I was in fourth grade. And I started acting real bad in fourth grade. There's a lot of reason for that I won't go into, but bottom line, brothers and sisters, I was getting into fist fights. I was doing all kinds of stuff, and I started stealing things. I started taking some of my classmates' things. And everybody started saying, who took this? Who took that? It was me. I don't know what got into me. But have mercy on me. I was only in fourth grade now. And anyway, bottom line is, I got found out. And in those days, even in the public schools and all, they still paddled you. So I got called down to the principal's office, to Mr. Bulware's office. And Mr. Bulware, in his southern drawl, said, everybody listen up. This is the Principal Bulware. I'm on the intercom now. Little Charlotte Pope in the fourth grade has been stealing from his classmates. Now we're going to show them what happens when you steal. And then all of a sudden, it got silent. Everybody knew what was coming. Pow! Bat! Bat! Got paddled. Church, I was so embarrassed. I was so mortified that I never stole anything again. I promise you. Before I was afflicted, the Bible says, I strayed. But now, I keep your word. Whew, hallelujah. If I even find a penny that doesn't belong to me, I try to find out, where does it go? Who does it belong to? I better get it into the poor box. So God doesn't just use problems to direct us and to inspect us to see if our faith is real. He doesn't use problems to direct us and inspect us and to correct us. But I also want you to know that God sometimes uses problems to protect us. Someone I know was asked to do something at work that was illegal and unethical. And he refused. He got fired. He was told to cook the books. He wouldn't do it. And he got fired. Pretty big cross, amen? 2 months later, the Inspector General showed up at the offices and said, we've noticed that something's not adding up. And not only were they fired, but several of them were convicted and sent to jail. Brothers and sisters, that man had to endure the cross of losing his job. But better to lose your job than to go to jail over it. Amen? Sometimes God just uses trials and setbacks to protect us from something bigger down the road. He diverts us in a different direction. Anyone ever been late and found out that an intersection that you went through, there was a horrible accident right about the time you normally go through that intersection? You say, all these things came up and I got late and I was so upset. Thank God I was late. God can sometimes use things to protect us. We don't always know God's ways. We don't always know. Maybe that person you thought you wanted to marry and they dumped you. Maybe it's just as well you never did marry them. Be careful. You just never know. Even the crosses are sometimes blessings in disguise. Amen? God doesn't just use problems to direct us and inspect us and correct us and protect us, but God uses problems to perfect us. Listen to what the Scripture says. Romans chapter 5 and verse 3. We can rejoice too when we run into problems and trials, for we know that they are ultimately good for us because they help us to learn to be patient. And patience develops strength of character and helps us to trust God more until we finally find that our faith and our hope are strong and steady. Sometimes through trials, our faith is perfected. Listen to what 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 7 says. You are being tested, but you're being tested like fire tests gold and purifies it. And your faith is far more precious than gold. So if your faith remains strong after being tried in fiery trials, it will bring you praise, glory, and honor on the day of judgment. God is perfecting us through our trials, amen? Making our faith stronger and purer. So brothers and sisters, we got some climbing to do. But please understand something. God's got some blessings on the other side of the climb. Well, let's get there, huh? Let's get to the top of the mountain now. Look at the way this text goes. After this climb, this difficult, painful climb, do not underestimate. They probably spent the better part of a day, maybe even 2 days, getting up that mountain. It was a tall mountain. Climbing. Anyone just had to run up a flight of a few stairs? You're out of breath and tired and worn out and time to take a nap. Up this tall mountain. Now, I don't want you to just notice the purpose of their trials, to get them up there. But I want you to notice the productiveness of their trials. It simply says here, and Jesus was transfigured before them. His clothes became dazzlingly white, such as no fuller on earth could bleach them. And Elijah appeared along with Moses, and they were conversing with Jesus. And Peter said, Rabbi, it is good that we are here. Praise the Lord. What a powerful experience they're having up there. Amen? It's good for us. Let's just stay here. Let's build some tents, and let's savor this moment. Anyone ever been there? Just been able to savor the fruits of hard work. Like I could last night just come here and just enjoy playing the pipe organ. I'm enjoying preaching right now. I stayed up late last night trying to put these notes together. But I'm having a good time up here, I want you to know. Choir, I know you're having a good time singing today, right? The fruit of hard work. Anyone just ever had a few moments in your life when you could just say, life is good. I worked hard for this moment. And now God is giving me the blessing. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. Take some time, church, and just savor these moments. And remember what the old song says, Lord, don't move my mountain. Now we know why, amen? Because if we had not climbed some of the mountains in our life, we would not be able to experience some of the things we've experienced. Hard work, studying hard, going to work early, finishing a project, finally presenting it, and having good results. A hard work of raising kids year in, year out. But Mom! Still, we endured the cross, the climb, the difficulties, and now our children finally stand strong and sturdy among us and are bearing fruit. Praise you, Lord. I thank you. It was hard work, but it's worth it. Praise you, Lord. I'm grateful for all the things. And Lord, I know that nothing in my life that I value didn't come to me without the crosses of hard, hard work. And not just my hard work, but church, isn't it nice to know that so many other people have paid the price for us? That we're enjoying the fruits of their toil, their climb, their crosses. I thank God that my teachers got up early in the morning and came to school and taught me. I thank God for all the priests and religious and others who preached the gospel to me, who toiled in the vineyard of the Lord, and I wasn't easy to deal with. But they just kept showing up. I thank God for the men and the women who made Holy Comforter and St. Cyprian parishes possible. Today, we're standing on holy ground. Amen. We're surrounded by a great cloud of witnesses. Those names that are on the walls, these names here, the saints on the wall, how many of them toiled and worked hard in this vineyard that we are now enjoying the fruitfulness thereof. Amen. Hard, hard work. It's just nice to be on the mountaintop and to say, thank you, Lord. Thank you. I thank you for the toil of your labors that you bring here. Thank you. It's a good thing. Years and years of hard work and difficulties. But you're here to say, God is good. Amen. It's just nice to be on the mountaintop. All the climbing has paid off. And not just the crosses of hard work, but even the crosses of turning away from sin. It's not always easy to say no to sin, is it? Sometimes it involves taking up the cross of self-denial, self-struggle, confronting some of our patterns of sin and some of those deep drives in us. I know how my father especially had to correct me over and over growing up, but I'm mighty glad he did. He said, son, you can't keep yielding to your anger like that. You can't get anywhere in life unless you begin to take authority over your anger. Authority over your sexuality. Authority over your greed. Authority over all you. Over and over again, my parents and others have told me that once again, take up the cross of saying no to yourself sometimes, and you'll really begin to grow. You know, after years of really trying to take the faith seriously now, I can say to you, God's been good to me. I'm experiencing some mountaintop stuff. I'm more confident. I'm more serene. I'm more joyful. I'm more hopeful. God has tested my faith. But now, because He's tested it and I've come through on the other side, now I can trust Him more. Hallelujah. It wasn't always easy to be able to say, yes, I can, when they call me to be a pastor out in far southeast. To say, yes, I can, when they call me to come back here. To be able to say, yes, I can do it, because God is good and God is faithful. If He hadn't attested my faith and helped me to know that I had to be strong and just say yes when I felt like maybe I wasn't able to do it, but with God all things are possible, and now I can enjoy the mountaintop experiences of being more confident, more trusting, more loving, more chaste, more pure. I've got a long way to go, but church, I've come a mighty long way. I'm not what I want to be, but I'm not what I used to be. A change has come over me. It's just nice to be on the mountaintop, to experience the fruits of saying yes to God and no to my own selfish drives. I haven't done it perfectly, but God is faithful, and Lord knows He's merciful. Merciful and grace-filled for us. Some of you might now, and all of us in this church, are probably at moments in our life when we're being asked to say yes to something, but it's not easy. Or we're being asked to say no to some sinful patterns in our life, and it's not easy. It's not easy to climb. But don't forget the mountaintops in your life where you've experienced the grace and the glory and the fruitfulness of hard work, of saying yes to God, of saying no to sin. God has some mighty good blessings after the carrying of the cross. Amen? Well, not only then do I want you to see today the purpose of trials, that climbing is important, because in order to experience the blessings, we've got to be willing to do some climbing, amen? We've got to get up to the top of the mountain. Not only have we then been able to say, and I hope I'm not the only witness in this church to say that after this climb, there's some mighty fine blessings on the other side of the climb. We already know that. Is there a witness in here that God has blessings on the other side of the climb? But finally today, I want you to notice that there's a pattern to trials. A pattern. You see, the mountaintop experience ended, didn't it? The Father's voice was heard. This is my beloved Son. Now listen to Him. And you know what Jesus told them? Time to go down the mountain. Mountaintop experiences are mighty fine, amen? Take some time, and when you have them, savor them. But you know what? There's a pattern to life, isn't there? There's climbing, rejoicing, and then more climbing to go to the next level. In fact, let me suggest to you the pattern in life is climb, cruise, and continue. In other words, make the climb. Rejoice and experience the fruitfulness of the climb. But know that you've got to go to the next level soon. Let me explain to you in a particular way that I think might make sense. You wouldn't know this about me but to look at me. But I have a physical trainer who comes about once a month and gives me some exercises to do. And I'm not saying it's great at keeping the weight off, but at least it keeps my muscles stronger. And I'm, a couple years ago, I wasn't even able to genuflect anymore because my knees were so weak and my... And so finally I'm back to, I can genuflect again, praise God, all right? Okay. And through all of the trying to build up some muscle mass and begin to get stronger again. But you know what happens is, this physical trainer comes once a month and he gives me a series of exercises to do. And he came yesterday. And I was like, I can now do 30 of those push-ups you gave me to do. He says to me, that's great. I hope you've enjoyed it. Because now we're going to go to the next level. I said, now we're going to go to the next level. 40. And not only are we going to make it 40, but we're going to add a little bit of weight. We're going to put some and you got to push even more, you see. Brothers and sisters, isn't that the way life is though? We climb and we make progress and we enjoy the fruits of it, but there comes a time when the Lord says it's time to take it to the next level. It's time to go to the next stage. We enjoy the mountaintop. But then the Lord says it's time to go down this mountain and to take up the next cross so that we can get up an even higher mountain. An even higher mountain. Listen to what this was true in Jesus' life. Amen. He goes up that mountain and oh, it's nice for him to be up there with Moses and Elijah and to hear his Father and to just bask in the glory. Hallelujah. But Jesus said, there's an even greater glory that lies in store for me. The glory of the cross. And I, when I be lifted up from the earth, will draw all men to myself. It's time to go down this mountain now. To go to Jerusalem. To suffer. To die. But church, I'll rise. That's what he said. I'll rise. And on the third day, I will cast off death like a garment. And I will give the devil the most serious wound he's ever received. The horrible wound of just conquering death which he brought into the world, casting it off like a garment. But it's going to take a cross. But there's glory on the other side of the cross. Church, it may be Friday, but Sunday's coming. And we have to go down the mountain for a time and take it to the next stage. That's all right. Because you already know, and I already know, we've been to the mountaintop. We know how we got to the mountaintop. We had to climb to get there. But at the top of that mountain, we've experienced some blessings from the crosses in our life. Amen? But then the Lord says, the blessings are nice, but it's time to take it to the next level. To go from 30 push-ups to 40. To get even stronger. To have real victory over this world. In this world, Jesus said, ye shall have tribulations, but have confidence. I've overcome the world. So church, let's go back to the title from the old song. By the way, it's on YouTube, Mahalia Jackson. Lord, don't move my mountain. Just do the Google. Mahalia Jackson. Lord, don't move my mountain. You can watch it right there on YouTube. Some of you don't know what I'm talking about, do you? Most of you do. Lord, don't move my mountain. Don't move it, Lord, because there's so many blessings up there. I don't want to forfeit the blessing, even if I got to climb to get there. Lord, don't move my mountain. But give me the strength to climb it. Don't take away my stumbling block. Just lead me all around it. Lord, the way may not be easy. You never said that it would be. But when our way gets a little too easy, Lord, we tend to stray from Thee. So, Lord, help me to take up my cross, because You've got blessings. And if I won't take up the cross, I won't get the crown. I don't want to forfeit the crown. Lord, don't take away my crown. Go ahead, give me the cross. I'll take it. I want to get to the mountaintop. Lord, don't move my mountain. Give me the strength to climb it. All right, soldiers of the cross, the song that some of us are more familiar with. We are climbing. I said climbing Jacob's ladder. Soldiers of the cross. And every round goes higher, higher. Soldiers of the cross. Let's have some mountaintop faith today. Let's know that there are blessings from crosses, and we should not be afraid of the cross, afraid of the climb. God's going to bless us. Soldiers of the cross. I said we're climbing Jacob's ladder, and every round goes higher, higher. Soldiers of the cross. Amen.